Good afternoon. It's 12:06 and time for Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOY. We'd love for you to join today's conversation, so make sure you give us a call at 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm. I'm Sarah D'Elia, and I'm joined by my Wednesday co-host, Barth Ragatz.
Hi, Sarah. How are you today?
I'm good, and glad to see you today, Barth.
Glad to be here.
And I'm very glad about our full hour of stress reduction that we're going to be dedicating to this hour of Midday Matters, because I can always use some tips to be a little less stressed in life.
Oh, you and I both, Sarah.
So, well,
we have two guests with us today in the studio. One is Dr. Richard Johnson. And Richard is a Harvard grad, and he's been on the faculty both at IU Bloomington and IPFW for a number of years. We were kind of reminiscing that I was on the third floor of classroom medical, and he was on the second floor, and our paths didn't cross that much. He was in the German department and also involved with peace studies there. And then our second guest is Dr. Jack Dyer, who used to be in the Indiana Regional Medical Consultants for a good number of years. He was a practicing nephrologist, and all three of us have retired from one career, and now we're involved in some other things. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Good to be here.
I wanted to start off, first we're going to be talking about stress diseases, stress reduction throughout today's show. So again, if you do have a question or comment, 260-452-1185 is the number to call. Let's talk a little bit about the organization Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne. Where did that start and what do you all do? And Richard, I'm going to start with you.
Thank you. Well, it's an educational service that began in 2010. I got my training at the University of Massachusetts Medical School in 2009-2010. So I came back to Fort Wayne and wanted to teach, and I believed it would be helpful to have some name that I could hook onto what I'm doing, so that I would be able to talk to folks in the community and the hospitals in the area. So that's how it got started, and then Jack joined me when he got the training himself.
Great. And obviously you guys are helping people manage their stress, but what if you had to pitch the idea to somebody in one sentence, how would you describe it as a service?
Well, what we provide is mental training. We all have stress. Jack and I could spend the whole hour talking about our stress, but we won't. So stress is just part of the human condition. But we handle it differently. You may notice some people just seems to roll off their backs some of the time or a lot of the time, and others, they're sort of stressed all the time.
Right.
So our program, our 27-hour educational program that we provide, is set up to help people use their minds more effectively. We use meditation, we use yoga, we use practices that help people settle in to where they are, into their bodies, into their emotions, into their thoughts, so that we're not so overwhelmed by the past and the future.
Yeah.
Most of us are stressed not by this moment. I remember a story of somebody who was in a terrible accident in New Zealand, and she was in such incredible pain. And she was told to make it. She had a medical procedure, and they said make it through the night. And she was in the hospital, and she was in excruciating pain. She was just, I can't make it through the night. I don't know what to do. And then her voice inside said, make it through this moment, and through this moment, and through this moment. And that's how she did it. So a lot of the times when we get stressed, we just take a breath and say, what is happening in this moment? That can be helped. And that's really basically what we train is. It's a very simple procedure. It's breath-based. But behind that simple method is a practice of, again and again, in the midst of our lives, saying, oh, I can be here now. You know, and what I say to people is, okay, do this for one breath. Almost everybody can. And then I say, now your assignment is to do it for the day. And I say, well, I've never done that either. So there's a huge difference between doing it all the time, but it's not like we're bad. We often think that if we don't do it all the time, but we don't. The more we do it, the more we rest into this particular moment, and the less stress we carry with us.
Mm-hmm. We like for people to think of their minds as a laboratory when they start the course. And so it's a practice of looking at the mind. We're all aware when we see where there's sight, and that's awareness. But we're not aware that we're aware, and that's really what mindfulness boils down to, is being aware of what the mind is doing and what is going on in this moment. And a little bit more about the course, we were talking ahead of time that if lectures and if books could stop stress, then Richard and I wouldn't be here. and so what we try to do in the course is to use the participatory and the experiential elements with the meditation and with the underpinning of group therapy, and that is that's a really important piece that the participants do participate, and they start feeling this unity, and it starts very early in the 8-week course.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to know before we go on further, what in both of your backgrounds made you decide that Mindfulness Matters was something that Fort Wayne needed? Why in particular did you decide to bring it to Fort Wayne? And Richard, I'll start with you.
Well, first of all, I think it was looking at stress inside myself, that there's always a way of either responding to stress or reacting against it. And I began practicing myself meditation back in the 70s, and I just loved it because it was a way of being free from all of the incoming. So that was really helpful to me. And so I realized that, and then I was, in 2008 or 9, I was reading a book by Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's the one who founded mindfulness, this mindfulness approach, in the University of Massachusetts Medical School. And I was reading his book, and it just was so compelling to me. And I had been teaching for years, and then I had retired. And I said, oh, I could do this because I care so much about us living in a way that is present. You know, I was as Barth mentioned, I was I directed Peace and Conflict Studies program at IPFW, and part of that is outer directed, but part of it is inner directed. I wrote a book about Gandhi, and I taught about certain of these meditation teachers. And there is on the one hand, meditation sounds kind of weird and scary and different, but it's really just stopping and being in this present moment and feeling, oh, this is what's going on. So since I had practiced it and since he had this program that sounded so good, I thought, well, I'll get that training. And personally, I found it very helpful. I had been meditating a long time, but the approaches that it provides, this the way it's set up, I found healing for myself. So I said, okay, well, I believe in it. I can do it. So. Yeah. That's what's happening.
Great. And Jack, what about you? What inspired you to join Richard?
Well, going back a little before that, I also experienced stress, as we all do. And I realized during my busy medical practice that I had formed a lot of habits to push away stress rather than dealing with stress, and which became problematic. And in 2004, I retired in 2008. In 2004, I started in a formal mindfulness meditation practice, and that included having a personal teacher for 3 years, which was very helpful. But during one of the retreats involved in that practice, I met a general practitioner from Canada who had changed to doing only mindfulness-based stress reduction. So he talked about that, and I talked to him about it 2 or 3 different times. And finally, then, in February of 2010, decided to take the course. But actually, I was taking it out of interest, not thinking that it would be necessarily beneficial to me. I felt like I had great benefits from the mindfulness practice I was already doing, but I was just absolutely blown away with the effectiveness that the practice had on the group. I was with 17 other people, and within a week or 2 or 3 weeks, I could see transformation happening in all the participants. And so I really decided at that time that that's what I wanted to do. I had, like I said, retired in 2008. So I scheduled a training, but it was so hard to get into because of the numbers of people interested. I really mm-hmm. didn't get to finish my training until actually just about a month ago. Mm-hmm. So I am actually joining the organization right now.
Yay.
260-452-1185 is the number to call if you have any questions or comments related to stress reduction. Maybe there's something particularly stressful in your life and you've managed it well and you want to share that tip with us. We'd love to hear that. So again, 260-452-1185. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us an anonymous note at middaymatters@nipr.fm. That's also an option. Okay, let's dive right into stress. What causes stress? It's a simple question, but when you think about it, when I think about, you know, you start to kind of have a laundry list of things that can cause stress, and I get stressed. So, Richard, what's a simple definition of stress?
Well, I really want to look at two kinds of stress, and then Jack can chime in too. One of them is what I would call healthy or necessary stress in a difficult situation. So here we are out in the African veld, and here comes a lion at us. We should feel stress.
Okay.
And that's healthy because that gets our whole body going. You know, all of our energy goes to our extremities, so we can get the heck out of there, and our gastrointestinal system shuts down because we don't need to digest because there's a danger we'll be digested.
Right.
So we get moving. We our immune system shuts down. All kinds of electrochemical things are happening, cortisol coursing through our body, very helpful in the moment. And so that's a good thing, and that's, we could call that pro-survival. It's pretty clear that I needed to get back my Land Rover before the lion got me.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Unfortunately, though, that doesn't happen, or fortunately, it doesn't happen very often, I guess I would say that. But unfortunately, we have a tendency to get stressed from things that are not so dangerous because the very power of our minds and our emotions can take over, and we can find life stressful. And once we cross that line and begin to see our lives as stressful, we begin to have what's called chronic stress. And chronic stress is potentially debilitating. Chronic stress the amount of cortisol in our brain can actually begin to damage brain cells. If our gastrointestinal system is not working all the time, or at least when we're eating, that's a danger.
Right.
One of the greatest dangers is that our immune system's not working, so that people who are stressed all the time or a lot of the time have a lot greater chance of getting sick. So all of these things are happening if we have chronic stress. So if we're able to stop for a moment and move out of it, then begin the process of stress reduction. But until we know we can do that, one of the most important things is that we can do that on purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Most of us, we might be going along and all of a sudden we say, oh, I feel better right now. But most of us do not know or are not actively involved in the process of saying, okay, I'm feeling stress right now. I'll feel it, but I'm gonna develop ways to let it go.
Okay.
So that's the key.
And those ways become quite habitual, and the perceptions that we have, the stories we have, the DNA that we have. Some people are just born to be more resistant to stress than others, and the life experiences that we have, we form rather unconsciously ways to react to stress and reaction is the important word rather than taking a step back and seeing that there's a way to respond a different way to do that. The other thing we do is we don't like stress, and so when we feel it, we push it away, or we have a reaction like anger or envy or jealousy. But another tactic that we do is to try to hide from it, and with diversion, and we try to hide with television, with drinking, mm-hmm. with drugs, with all kinds of activities, mm-hmm. and for the moment we feel, oh, I've escaped that stress,
right.
But that all becomes habit forming, and the mind becomes wired that way, mm-hmm. and so what mindfulness does, it puts a wedge between the stress and the reaction to stress. And so we can start looking at the mind and seeing these things and then realize there's a true choice mm-hmm. to make.
I was going to ask, you know, it does seem I'm one of those people that unfortunately does get stressed a lot. And then I see friends, coworkers who they're as cool as a cucumber. Nothing really seems to stress them out. And I think, well, that's not fair. I'd like to be more like that. But it sounds like you're suggesting that some of that is maybe not entirely in my control, that I am just the way I am a little bit. Is that true, or
there's some truth to that. You're not in control, and another way, not even at fault, because the experiences you had as a young person that started to affect the way you go forth in the world. They weren't of your choosing, mm-hmm. But they were important. And another important fact is that perhaps you had a trauma, might have a trauma in childhood, and you formed a reaction at that moment was the only reaction you could have had. But then that carries forward and, mm-hmm. and is used in times when it's not necessarily appropriate. Mm-hmm. Another thing is, as far as looking at coworkers and seeing how cool they appear, a lot of that is appearances. I think we all feel the effects of stress, and we all try to hide it in different ways.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Good point.
It's somewhat, a little bit also an issue of male and female, because it is more acceptable in our culture that women show their emotions than it is for men. Mm. So I remember 20 years ago, somebody said, men are more stressed than women. I went, what? And then he said, because if you don't allow your feelings to come out, then you're carrying them around. They said, oh, yeah, well, I do that. So the outside is really not a very good sign of that. Uh-huh. That's why medical procedures can look at things that go beyond people's smile or you know whatever else it is.
Right.
So and also women do tend to report more stress.
Yes.
But that does not mean that they necessarily have more stress.
Mm.
So, and the other thing, what I would say about the genetics of it is we all, our early training, we're all dealt a certain hand. There's just no doubt about
uh-huh.
it. The question is, what do we do with the cards we get? When I was a kid, I used to play poker with some folks for $5 and a whole thing, and my money would be gone in a little while. and some of these guys were just so good.
Mm.
And what happened with them is they knew how to play the cards. And what this does for us, this mindfulness-based stress reduction, is this helps us play the hand that we have.
Mm.
You know, I can think of times when I've tried to get my mind quiet when I've been stressed, and it's a bit of a challenge, I'd have to say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're pretty quickly thinking about, oh, let's see, did I pay the bills yet? And did I do this and that? So this course will kind of give us a different approach here. It sounds to me like it's really a change in how we do things fundamentally.
Right. And the point is not to get rid of stress. The point is to recognize stress, be with that stress, and then see the choices. I think the tactics we all try is to try to get rid of stress by
mm-hmm.
by doing other activities, by going to the refrigerator, whatever, whatever. But it's more important to recognize it, to accept it, be with it, and then with mindfulness, then we can make better choices of how mm-hmm. to deal with it.
Mm-hmm. Now, you mentioned that you both took this course at University of Massachusetts School of Medicine.
Mm-hmm.
Do they do some things with the medical students there? Because certainly that's a pretty stressful field to be in.
They do.
Uh-huh.
They do. And Jack and I talked about that. I said maybe somebody who is a medical doctor in Fort Wayne might want to propose that to the medical school.
Yeah.
Yes, exactly.
Not me.
And there have been studies that the, quote, burnout rate of medical caregivers is much less after taking a stress reduction course like this.
Uh-huh. So, doctors or nurses.
Right, any caregiver. And so I do feel that it, and some places it is part of the curriculum, but I think going forward it'll be more so. As far as we're talking about medical schools, I do want to say that what we're saying has been scientifically proven to be effective, and there's been a lot of studies. In fact, there's an annual convention for people involved with mindfulness-based stress reduction that meets in Boston every year. There are 400 scientists from around the world that come and present their data annually. Much of the data is experience-based, but the fact that the course is taught at 400 centers around the world in essentially the same manner, the same 8-week course, the same silent retreat, and we're all keeping statistics in the same way. So there is some bias that we always get in any kind of outcome data, but there's a lot of other data that is not outcome data, using functional MRI machines where you can actually look at the activity in the brain, and you can see that the parts of the brain that deal with being calmer have a different activity after the 8-week course, and the amygdala, which is the emotional center, it shows a significant change in reactivity there, right. That kind of thing.
So this isn't just philosophy, it's right. Medical as well, mm-hmm. and right. The marriage of both. We actually need to take a quick short break, but I want all of our listeners to think of maybe a stressful situation, a stress question that they have that they'd like to call in and share about how they've dealt with it. Or if you have a question about managing stress, we'd love to hear that as well. 260-452-1185 is the number to call. You can always post on our Facebook page or send us a note at middaymatters@nipr.fm. And we'll be back in just a few moments.
Even colleges admit it, the stakes are higher.
It is an arms race. It just keeps going up.
And that's just what it takes to get in. Then the real stress starts. I'm John Donvan. Picking a major, paying for school, doing the work, finding a job, the pressures of college. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
You help pay for public education in Indiana, but from the Capitol to the classroom, the payback isn't always clear. You can find out how the state's policy impacts your family in our new State Impact Indiana Project, a local national collaboration between Indiana public broadcasting stations and NPR. You can hear the stories during Morning Edition, All Things Considered, and Weekend Edition on NIPR, and dig deeper with a click on the State Impact logo at nipr.fm.
Bill Hader is nominated for an Emmy for his work on Saturday Night Live. On the next Fresh Air, we talk with him about his characters, including Stefan, the gay nightlife correspondent. Hader's co-writer often adds lines in his cue cards at the last minute just to make him laugh on air.
When I walk into work, the cue card guys are like, "Hey, we just read the Stefan. Oh, boy." You know what I mean?
Join us.
Fresh Air weekdays at 1 on WBOI.
Healthcare's jumped back to political issue number one. Republicans warning the president will drive Medicare into the ground. Democrats insisting a Romney-Ryan win in November means the end of Medicare as we know it. I'm John Donvan, navigating the Medicare maze. Next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
Tune in weekdays at 2 here on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI. It's 12:30, and if you're just joining us today, we're talking about stress management, and to do that, we have Jack Dyer and Richard Johnson of Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne, and we have a caller. We have Tom on line one, and we're going to get to Tom's question right now. Tom, are you there?
Yep.
Great. What's your question?
Well, I apologize if this has been addressed already. I'm wondering about stressed out teenagers, especially in their junior year in high school when they're worried about college, any tips, any advice for dealing with that, and when teenagers get so stressed, they turn negative and start catastrophizing, if you will, and saying, hey, the world's coming to an end. any advice there?
Sure. Well, I've been a teenager. I remember that. I also went to college. But also, I've been a parent and I with five kids. So what I would say is that there's two different things, Tom. One of them is, of course, the teenager, and one of them is you. The more you can respond to your teenager's stress and negativity instead of reacting, the better. So that when you're when that person, that individual, that young person is reacting as they, actually it's fairly age appropriate. You know, the parts of the brain that hopefully we develop, they haven't yet. So it's actually quite appropriate that that will happen for them. So in a way, you're being their prefrontal cortex. You're being the part of the brain that's the executive part that's helping them. So one of the most important things is everything you can do in your own life to be able to handle how stressful that can be, because you got everything else in your life plus this person going through these things. So that, to me, that's the most important thing you can do. The other thing is that young people can come to our courses as well. It's a little bit hard to compel someone to do it, but if somebody felt it, that he or she was having trouble, that would also be a possibility.
Mm-hmm. I think it's important to remember that the difference between helping and fixing. I think as a parent, I always wanted to fix things,
sure.
And it's much healthier, I think, to come with the attitude of helping and especially listening fully, without the mind going right to fixing or reacting to what you're hearing. And that's a tall order. I realize.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's the teenage years. I know they're always the same, but I think with the emphasis on getting into college and the academic rat race, it's even worse than ever now. Thank you for your advice.
Thank you.
All right, that's an interesting point. So I want to talk about the classes that you all provide. And so anybody of any age, gender, whatever, come as you are, anyone is welcome. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I think there may be, in terms of age, maybe below 16 or something might be a little bit hard. For the teen years, we might have to play that by ear, but there's not any problem for someone to be able to do that. Anytime we can learn how to breathe, to take it easy, to look at our lives more carefully. So I think that could be very helpful. Right.
And what is really interesting now, there's a big movement, a number of different movements that address mindfulness at a much earlier age, and there's books and CDs on how to address this with people as young as 4, 5, and 6, there are a number of programs starting up in school districts around the country. Goldie Hawn has been very effective in getting this going. I'm blocking on the name of her program, but
am I.
Mind Up.
And
she has been very influential, and the results so far have been amazing at the schools that have been in just simple mindfulness practices throughout the day.
Mm-hmm. I know if Tom is still listening, I remember those years when I was a teenager and getting ready to go to college and embarking on all of that, and my mother dragged me, not literally, but kicking and screaming to my first yoga class. Mm-hmm. And it was a special yoga class just for teenagers. Mm-hmm. And that was really amazing for me to not only get good exercise, but also be among my peers who were going through similar things. So that might be something that I would suggest personally is, maybe making your son or daughter go to something that they don't want to go to the first time. But really, I saw the value of it. And it doesn't have to be yoga. Can be just another thing where there are other kids that are going through the same thing, because I think much like your class, participating and being among people that are also going through the same stresses, that's mm-hmm. also a key part to your class, right?
Is yes.
Being a participant and yes. actively so.
Yes, yes, yes.
So let's talk a little bit about, you have some classes coming up, and we do want to give our listeners that information as well. But what are folks going to experience when they sign up and go?
Well, we have an orientation. It's free, so that somebody can get an idea before they enter the class what it's like. We'll give you those dates. And then what we do is a lot of, as Jack said, a lot of participation. We are in every class that we have times for yoga, for meditation. We have a lot of time for discussion. We have very little time for lecture. Mm-hmm. It's as participatory as any classes I've ever experienced. We teach sitting meditation. We teach lying down meditation, which is called the body scan, one of my favorites. I like to lie down, so that's a healthy thing. We have standing and walking meditation. And then the whole point of the yoga is not to become great yogis or great yoginis, although some people are pretty darn good and better than I am, but to be mindful in movement, just moving our arm, standing up, sitting down. These are opportunities to be here in this moment, because when we're doing it, we tend not to be stressed. So being in the garden, you know, whatever it is, or doing dishes, many times those are activities that are stressful. So we have what's called formal practice, those meditation practices in the yoga that students actually commit to doing on a regular basis, 6 days a week on the days they're not in class, for 45 to 60 minutes, which is a big commitment, not easy, and it can be transforming. The other thing is that's called informal practice, and that's when we're just, you know, like on a radio program or whatever it might be, that we're stopping to take a breath. And one of the nice things about everybody here is that I don't have to do everything. So I can breathe a little more consciously when other people are talking. So whenever we can be mindful. So it's not a situation where it's only the classroom. It's a lot of the discussion is, how did it go this week when you were doing the body scan? And they have CDs that they take with them so that they can learn from that. Mm-hmm. So the whole process is to, as much as possible, learn to be mindful as a way of life and not so much a technique. Of course, there are techniques, but this is about how we live, so that what we're hoping is by the end of the class, folks are able to find those practices that were most practical for them. And then what the follow-up studies have shown is 3 months out, a year, 3 years later, many of the folks who have gone through it have a much lower level of stress within them. It's not that their lives went away. It's not that the life said, okay, well, now that you've had this class, we're going to be really easy on you.
Right.
it's that they've internalized some of those practices. It's practice-based. Mm-hmm. If we don't practice it, it's just like in sports. If I don't practice whatever my sport is, basketball, I'm going to have trouble doing it. So this is the same as with this particular approach.
Mm-hmm. Now, we mentioned that the yoga exercises were helpful to Sarah as a teen there, mm-hmm. and I might ask about the other end of the spectrum. I remember one of my friends was telling me that he started to enroll in a Tai Chi course and saw that he didn't have that good of balance anymore. I suppose that this yoga is fairly low impact and about anyone could do it there.
It's very, very simple in terms of the movements. Yes, of course it helps with balance and that kind uh-huh. of thing. But as Richard said, at least for me, the most helpful part of doing the yoga for myself, I had never done yoga before, was looking at my mind, because I tended not to enter into things I couldn't do pretty well, and this is mm-hmm. one thing I knew that I wouldn't be doing very well.
Right.
And so it was just amazing to watch the stories that came up as I was trying to stand on one foot and trying to stretch in ways that I had never stretched before. And that's what is, that for me was very impactful. I got firsthand information about the stories I tell myself.
Mm-hmm. It's not about performance. Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're taking a yoga class, particularly a long-term yoga class, I suspect your yoga teacher wants you to get better at it. That's not our concern.
Uh-huh.
That's
mm-hmm.
not our concern. We always do some sitting yoga, which everyone can do. And we also ask in each class, what is it that you believe you cannot do, mm-hmm. you and your consultation with your doctor,
uh-huh.
so that there's nothing that's forced.
Yes.
There's something called a forward fold where you're standing and you bend all the way and touch your toes. Not for me. I've had a back injury.
Uh-huh.
So I'll say in the class, I'm going to show you the forward fold supporting myself with my hands on my knees,
uh-huh.
Or just above my knees. And then I bet you somebody in this class can do it. Uh-huh. There's always somebody who can. And then they show that. So we're saying that that in every single pose that we suggest, there are different adaptations
right.
for whoever it is, because it's not about performance. It's about being in this moment and being mindful.
Mm-hmm.
There's another important piece too here. One of the main tenets that we like to get across is to learn to be self-reliant and to mm-hmm. know one's limits and to know how to care for oneself. And so yoga becomes a very good tool for bringing up those teachings.
Mm-hmm.
And we see this getting back to the medical side of things, we see this in people who have gone through the course and how they relate to their caregivers and how they begin to take responsibility for their own health. And it all comes from learning to care for yourself, because who else can care for you better than yourself?
Right.
And yoga is a place that we begin that.
Mm-hmm. And Richard, you had mentioned that this class is both for people who may be struggling with an illness that is stressful, but also for caregivers that are actually, it's becoming a stressful situation for them as well, and that they benefit from this.
Yes. In one of my classes, a couple came, and the wife of the two had pretty severe fibromyalgia. You know, that's a very painful disease and really tough. She was definitely helped by the class, not so much for her with less pain, but she was able to cut her meds. And she said, one of the things that the class gave me was hope. And I thought that was just beautiful. In the case of her husband, who was a primary caregiver and had been for years, he said, oh my gosh, this is the first time in years I've felt peace.
Mm-hmm.
Just by being quiet and really giving himself permission. I think sometimes when we're caregivers or when we're in jobs that can be challenging, we often don't give ourselves permission to be in this moment. But he said, I'm more available to my wife in her times of need
mm-hmm.
if I actually recognize that I too have needs.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's great. You know, we haven't really covered the when and where yet. We better get to that too before the hour escapes us. The program is called Let Go of Stress, and where will it be hosted?
At the Women's Health Center at Parkview North.
Okay. That's at the new Parkview North campus out off of DuPont.
Yes.
And I believe the Women's Health Center is at entrance 2 or 3.
Is it two? Oh, I thought it was three.
Somewhere in that vicinity.
It's one of those.
I think it's two.
That's yeah. right.
Thank you, Jeff.
Exactly.
And something I don't think you mentioned, Richard, is the 8 classes are 2.5 hours long.
Mm-hmm.
The first one sometimes runs to 3, and the last one sometimes runs to 3. And another a very, very important piece is that between weeks 6 and 7, we have a 7-hour silent retreat on a Sunday. That sounds scary,
mm-hmm.
But by the time the 6th week comes around, most everybody is not only prepared for this but looking forward to it, and it is. It is a profound experience. In my practice, I go to 7 10-day retreats that are all silent, and this is just a taste of that. And it's a very, it's an amazing way to look at your own mind.
Mm-hmm. That's
so great. We could give the dates for the next
yep.
class.
Uh-huh.
We have classes that where the orientations are Monday, September 10th. And September 12th, and Wednesday, September 12th, from 6 to 8:30 p.m. And then the classes themselves start the next week, Monday the 17th, and Wednesday the 19th. at the Women's Center, mm-hmm. and our day-long retreat will be October 28th. And that information is on the web. We have a website and we have a Facebook page. So mm-hmm. Those are the website is mindfulnessmattersfw.com, mm-hmm. mindfulnessmattersfw.com, and the Facebook is Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne, F-O-R-T.
And we'll link to those pages after the show today. So mm-hmm. if you're listening and maybe in the car and can't get to that, we will post that for your convenience later. Before, we only have about 15 minutes left of the show, and time goes by when you're nice and relaxed. I want to make sure that we talk about a couple other things. I was interested in learning, you had mentioned that oftentimes we're not necessarily stressed about the present moment, but about the past or mm-hmm. the future. Mm-hmm. What advice do you give to folks that take your classes to let go of something that maybe you've been holding on for a really long time, that's holding you back from, you know, moving forward? What would you say to somebody?
Well, there's certainly a lot of different approaches that we teach, but I think two are fundamental. One of them is to focus our mind on something now, because if it's the past that's bothering us, then something as simple as taking a breath or taking three breaths. We know physiologically that when someone takes three deep breaths and focuses on the breath, it changes their blood pressure in general. Mm-hmm. So we know that that's a fact. There's, like, I read in one book, the 311 studies, but anyway, however, a bunch of studies about that. So that's one thing that's just so simple that we all have available all times. It doesn't cost anything. It's just freely available. The other part that Jack touched on before that's fundamental in this class is, instead of running away from something that's a major issue, let's say when Tom talked about the issue of his teenager, looking at, let's say that I'm in Tom's shoes, so I'm a parent, I need to discuss with my wife or other, you know, whoever else is involved, I need to look at that. But instead of what many of us learned, and I learned this very much as a young person, run away from whatever the problem is, mm-hmm. let's look at it. In this moment, I'm feeling, let's say, I'm feeling stress. I'm feeling angry. I'm feeling overwhelmed. You know, I'm the one who's providing this money, and these things are going to happen, and yet here's this kid giving me a hard time. So to say, okay, maybe I need to look a little bit at my own teen years. Mm. You know,
I think another important factor is not only to look at what's coming up, but look at it without judgment. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's so foreign to all of us, because we're our first judge and our first critic. That's just the way we are in our society. So to learn to accept whatever is coming up and to look at it with what we call a beginner's mind, like you're looking at it for the first time without judgment. And then it's much easier to make a choice. But if we're going to be judging, I shouldn't be feeling this, I don't want to be feeling this, then it makes it much harder to deal with.
Mm-hmm. We can say that mindfulness is really a combination of awareness and acceptance, or we can say it really is a matter of the full use of our mind and our hearts. That if we're able to take what's happening, here's my teenager, and let's say it's he's having a lot of trouble. And so in the midst of the difficulty, even though he may be negative, if I can just accept and love him, because this is the human condition. As a teenager, I went through the same thing. This is very hard. Mm-hmm. So that if we're able, and one of the things I love about this approach is it says, okay, here's fear. Let's say there's fear. I'm afraid of something. I'm afraid I can't pay for my kid's education. I feel that fear, but then I move into awareness. I'm aware that I'm feeling fear. The awareness, if you look in your own experience, I think you'll find this, is not afraid. Awareness doesn't feel fear. Mm-hmm. So I'm aware. If I center my consciousness, my process within me on being aware, then a lot of times I can witness, and one thing I love to say about my feelings is, they're kind of like kids. You know, it's not just my teenagers, but I have all these kids inside me, my anger, my fear, my frustration, whatever. And I can just look at it and say, this is what I'm feeling. And I can accept this like I can accept a toddler, because it's pretty much not very mature. My fear is not very mature.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think another thing that we do in life, and when we start looking at our mind, is we spend so much of our time wanting things to be different than they are. And that's one of the main things we teach too, that things are as they are, and for causes and conditions that occur. And so to try to refrain from wanting things to be different, just accepting the way things are makes the whole process much easier.
You know, I had read up a little bit before the program today, and actually the mindfulness programming is used in a number of settings. I was kind of surprised to see that there are programs in leadership training,
yes,
and they've been in a lot of the big corporations. And Jack mentioned earlier about Goldie Hawn, and in what I read, they said that Bill Ford Jr., you know, Ford Motor Company, was a big fan of this approach. Could you tell us a little bit more about some of that?
There are a lot of things, and I don't want to be pushing a book, but there is a new book out called A Mindful Nation that was written by Tim Ryan, who's a congressman from Ohio. And in his, the reason I'm bringing it up, in this book, he goes through 8 or 10 different applications of mindfulness that are being used in the country. Some that you haven't mentioned. You mentioned corporations, and that's interesting. One of the most amazing things I found is that in Ford Motor Company a couple of years ago, they found that they were losing hundreds of millions of dollars because of people missing work for back pain. Mm-hmm. And so they brought in, throughout the corporate system, they brought in, they had people take the mindfulness-based course. And after the 8-week course, the next year they found that the missing of work went down incredibly, and that they saved hundreds of millions of dollars.
I think it was $900 million in 1 year.
No, that's phenomenal, isn't it?
It's used in a military. It's very effective in correctional facilities, and that's one thing that both Richard and I are interested in, because again, people are there because of reacting to their conditioned mind. And so when they get out, if they can see a different way to excuse me, to respond, then the chances of them needing to go back into a correctional facility are lessened. And it's used in eating disorders, sleep disorders, certainly in relationships of all kinds.
We actually have to take a quick break, but we're going to be back with just a few minutes left of Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOI.
In November, Californians will vote on whether to make the crime of sex trafficking easier to prosecute. The proposed law would ramp up the penalties for pimps.
He would post me on the internet and put a fake name and the number to call me at.
New punishments would include having to register as a sex offender.
I tried to leave him, but he told me that he would kill me.
That story today on All Things Considered from NPR News.
All Things Considered airs weekday afternoons at 4 on WBOI, Northeast Indiana Public Radio.
Good afternoon. I'm Sean Beter with WBOI News. IUPUI hosted Indiana's 3 gubernatorial candidates Tuesday for a forum on the state's policy future. And as Indiana Public Broadcasting's Brandon Smith reports, the 3 candidates all say taxes can be cut.
GOP candidate Mike Pence praised Indiana's fiscal strength, applauding Governor Daniels and the legislature for helping produce a roughly $2 billion surplus. Moving forward, Pence says he would devote 1/3 of the state's surplus to savings that would protect against a fiscal crisis. He says the remaining 2/3 would go towards growing the economy through income tax cuts. Democratic candidate John Gregg says the state must be careful with its surplus.
I think the key to our economic development, though, is not necessarily to rush and give all that away and give it back. We have to ascertain the actual dollar amount. I think the second thing we need to do is make sure that we have a very, very fair, broad-based tax policy.
Gregg says he would eliminate the sales tax on gasoline and cut corporate taxes for Indiana-based companies. Libertarian candidate Rupert Bonham says he wants to see greater transparency in the fiscal side of government, and he says his administration would look for taxes that can be cut or eliminated entirely. For Indiana Public Broadcasting, I'm Brandon Smith.
And Governor Mitch Daniels says he supports a public discussion about whether the joint campus run by Indiana and Purdue Universities in Fort Wayne should become an independent school. Daniels is slated to become Purdue's president in January, and Purdue currently oversees the 14,000-student IPFW campus. Daniels says that IPFW has grown and plays a big role in the life and economy of northeastern Indiana. He says he does not know whether making it an independent school is the right answer. The legislature's Select Commission on Education is to review the governance of IPFW during its September 4th meeting. The University of Southern Indiana in Evansville started as a branch campus of Indiana State University before it was established as a separate state university in 1985. And the Fort Wayne Tin Caps closed out the home stand and the four-game series against the Dayton Dragons last night. WBOY's Doug Gruber was there and has the details.
The Tin Caps lost their third in a row to last-place Dayton 6-3. In the three losses, the Tin Caps' hitting woes continued. They managed only four runs in the three contests while allowing 22. Last night, Dayton again started the scoring early with two runs in the second inning and two more in the third. Four Tin Caps throwing errors contributed to the Dayton lead. Fort Wayne managed two runs in the sixth, the closed within 4-2, but Dayton quickly stretched their lead back to four runs with two in the seventh. Fort Wayne did get a final run in the ninth, but went down 6-3. The Tin Caps now travel to West Michigan for three games, then four at Lansing before returning to Parkview Field for the final regular season home stand. That's three games against West Michigan starting next Wednesday. For WBOI News, I'm Doug Gruber from Parkview Field.
You're listening to Midday Matters Outer Spaces here on 89.1 FM WBOI. Here's your host, Sarah DeLeo.
Welcome back to Health 360 Midday Matters here on WBOY. We have just a couple minutes left in our program today. We have Jack Dyer and Richard Johnson of Mindfulness Matters of Fort Wayne, and they're going to be teaching some classes in the area soon. So, Richard, can you give us the who, what, when, where?
Sure. The title is Let Go of Stress at the Women's Health Center at Parkview North, and went out just off DuPont. The free orientations are Monday, September 10th. 6 to 8:30 p.m. and Wednesday, September 12th, 6 to 8:30 p.m. The classes begin Monday, September 17th, there for 8 weeks, 6 to 8:30 p.m. till November 5th, and Wednesday, 6 to 8:30 p.m., September 19th to November 7th. Now, if you'd like to sign up, you can look on the website. We'll talk about that. But if you want to sign up, you can email mindfulnessmattersfw@gmail.com. or call 260-693-7106, and that will be posted here so you can get that through the station. So that provides the basic information about it.
Okay, great. Well, I wish you both a great amount of luck, and we look forward to having you back on the show sometime soon, and I hope lots of people sign up. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Sarah.
You're listening to Northeast Indiana Public Radio, broadcasting from the Madge Rothschild Studios at 89.1 HD Channel 1. We're streaming online at nipr.fm. This is WBOY Fort Wayne. Thanks very much to all of our listeners and caller today. We do appreciate it. This episode of Midday Matters will be podcasted by the end of the day. You can go to nipr.fm and click on the podcast button on the upper left-hand corner of our website. And all of our episodes are podcasted on a daily basis, so if there's something you've missed, you can always check it out there. Barth and I will be back same time, same place next Wednesday at noon for more Health 360 Midday Matters.